Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh Scover, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down at the Roundtable.
Joining me at the roundtable today is visual artist Diana Porter. Her website is portalunlimited.com. Diana, can you tell us a little bit about when did you first know that art was your destiny?
Yep, I sure can. So I knew that I wanted to be an artist when I was in kindergarten, actually. I had a little aptitude for it. My elementary art teacher picked up on it. And from then, I had great parents that kind of pushed me in that direction. And ever since then, I have grown step by step, middle school, high school, on to art school. And that's why I wanted to be an artist.
That's great. It's good to know from a very young age what you want to do and then have it work out. So I like to think of an arts journey as being kind of like a roller coaster. You have your ups, you have your downs, you have some highs and lows. And also, I think, you know, it evokes that sense of travel in a way. You know, roller coasters go far. I don't know how else to say that. And I always like to ask people, you know, where are you from? Where'd you grow up? And how do you feel like those places may or may not have influenced your art? And then also, you know, talk a little bit about maybe that roller coaster ride of being an artist. And what are some of your highs and lows?
Roller coaster. Well, it's not always been easy. I mean, being an artist and making a living as an artist is very difficult, as we all know. Mm-hmm. Anybody that's been involved in the arts, whether it's music or whether it's visual arts, it is hard. And I've been really fortunate because I've always been in an instance, with the exception of some retail jobs, that I've been able to make a living in it somehow. But I've had to reinvent myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's always highs and lows that are like, oh, I didn't win that contest, or
right.
Oh, my goodness, didn't get juried into something, or, you know, something like that. Or, you know, you work your tail off doing a piece of artwork as a commission and it's not what they wanted.
Right.
Those are lows because it's eating your time, and that, to me, time is money.
Yes.
I just kept reinventing myself. I'm from Michigan. I was born and raised in Michigan. I went to Kendall College of Art and Design in Grand Rapids. Mm-hmm. And I graduated early because I went through summers. And so I graduated as an illustrator. That's really what my background is. I've had to reinvent myself to become a fine artist because illustration has, changed into digital.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm just dangerous on the computer. I know just enough to really mess things up. And illustration, there's a fine line between fine art and illustration.
Yeah.
But as far as the reinvention goes, I had children, which put a big chunk in out of my career because I wanted to be mom. And so I was a stay-at-home mom, and I laugh now because I say, people go, well, how did you do your artwork then? And I still did freelance work. I was still able to make money, but I really rocked at doing Teenage Ninja Newton
Turtles,
photo opportunities for the PTA, mm-hmm. You know, stuff like that. So I've always kept my hand in it. I've always, done it. And then I realized when my kids got in high school that we needed two incomes. I mean, most people do. So I did some freelancing again
old school illustration is still in demand. It's still, yeah.
I have a studio here, and I'm working on a big poster series for the Johnson County Travel Bureau, which is Festival Country Indiana.
Sure.
And so I'm able to do that, but I it's not all I do now. I have to fill it somehow.
Yeah.
So then I also after that little stint, well, it was a 10-year stint, which I worked a lot of hours. I freelanced again, and then I realized, my husband laughs at me, some of the stuff I drew, but I did stuff like design little villages for, like Christmas villages.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
For a company in Illinois. And so from there, I went on to becoming a costume designer for a company here locally that makes show choir and color guard uniforms. And that was fun because I love music. I really love music more than art. I just wasn't really good at it as good. So from there, I decided, I got to the age where I thought I'm running out of time. I'm running out of time. My husband and I both decided to take retirement. And I opened a studio, which is where I'm sitting right now, and I'm in downtown Barbersville. I have a train that runs, blows its whistle just a few feet from my building every day, and I really love hearing it.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
It is wonderful. It's
so evocative. Yeah.
People walk in and just chat with me, and they're probably not gonna buy anything, but it's a small town.
Yeah.
The town I was from in Michigan was also like 1,200 people.
Yeah.
So Barbersville is bigger than that, but I still feel like I've kind of come full circle.
Yeah, that's cool. You've kept busy in so many different fields and in different ways in the arts. That's really an inspiring journey that you've had. I wanted to ask you, everything changed in March with the COVID-19 and its impact on individual artists and arts organizations and businesses and everything. And I just wonder how you've, if it's impacted you and if you've had any adjustments, and what is your take on being an artist during a global pandemic?
I actually worked at the Indianapolis Art Center too, and that's the I taught there one day a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I teach here as well, but that impacted me the most because since I taught one day a week, I didn't leave there till late at night.
Right.
And I just did not feel comfortable anymore driving through the city late at night, and it made me nervous being. It made me nervous anyway, but with so much unrest and stuff going on down there, I just thought, I don't want to do it. So I decided to get my teaching out of the way here, because most artists really want to teach people. They mm-hmm. want to show, that's how we pass on our craft. So I changed and done all my teaching here instead of driving up there, which is a long way anyway, mm-hmm. in Brockville. So that affected me because of the COVID, and they closed.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to supplement why they closed, even though it wasn't teaching here, because I couldn't have people in. But most artists I know that I've talked to that, even though maybe they weren't making the same amount of money or, being at a commercially successful, we all of a sudden had this time.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you do with that time? Mm-hmm. You create.
Sure.
Create. And so,
We've all become artists in residence.
that's a good thing, just the way to look at it.
Yeah.
But I still drove down here to, because I live in Greenwood now. I drove down here to, because this is where my stuff was,
mm-hmm.
and I would just come in, lock the door, I did it 6 days a week, just through the mm-hmm. lockdown, just like I was still working. And I had several people, clients from before, some customers. Like I had one guy from California that emailed me. He said, Diana, I was just thinking, you know, I have got two paintings for you to do, and I'm figuring you probably have a lot of time on your hands.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you know,
commission
that's
work
a big
is
commission,
yeah.
You know?
Commission work is a blessing during a global pandemic.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, and the scariest thing that I had to deal with was, you know, going to the post office.
Oh yeah.
You have to stay in line. You know,
right.
So when I would have to ship something, that was the scariest thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I got more work done during the lockdown, than ever. Now, as far as the ongoing pandemic rules and regulations, I have to cut my class in about half, so I can only get 6 people in here if we can social distance. If we social distance, because my tables are 6-foot tables,
mm-hmm.
each person gets a table, and it's real pleasant and low key.
Yeah.
But you know, just like every other art, it doesn't take much to keep me in business.
Yeah.
I have very reasonable rent. I have a generous landlord that lowered my rent because of all this. So I've been blessed in a lot of ways to keep going,
mm-hmm.
you know. I enter a lot of contests and shows and
mm-hmm.
stuff, and, you know, sometimes
keep
I make
busy that
family.
Way, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's on the artistic horizon for you? Any big projects or adventures coming down the pike?
I have some, so I'm going to do the same things I've always done, teach and create art, and, you know, I spend a lot of time marketing.
Mm-hmm.
But I wrote a children's book. It's taken me 4 years, because I'm really not a writer, and it's about music, so I wanted it to rhyme, and, you know, if you get a children's book published, the first thing they'll tell you is not to have it rhyme.
Not to have it rhyme? Is that what you said?
Well, they don't. They try to steer you in that direction. I think it's because people, if they're doing a rhyming book, they force it. You know, it's you know,
mm-hmm.
you create things that don't quite fit, but they
right.
almost rhyme. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
I'm not a publisher.
Yeah,
but but I haven't started illustrating it yet.
Mm.
So I'm anxious to find the time, and I'm going to have to squeeze in to the paying gigs.
Mm-hmm.
To
a labor of love.
It is going to be a labor
yeah.
of love, and probably a labor of love self-publishing as well.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Well, but self-publishing has become kind of the go-to thing to do anyway, because cutting out the middleman is a great thing. And if you have the time to put the project together and get your manuscript all ready and formatted and everything, why not? You know, it's a
yeah.
new skill you've learned. So,
yeah.
Exactly. I wish you a lot of luck with that, and
great.
Also with continuing your teaching your classes and having your online presence by submitting things to different contests and a lot of virtual exhibits, and probably you're doing in-person exhibits too when you can. So
I try to, yeah.
Yeah. Well, in a global pandemic, it's hard. You gotta pick and choose what you're gonna put yourself out there with physically. But I
yeah.
really thank you so much for being at the round table with me today. I've enjoyed talking with you about your arts journey and what you're up to and what you're doing. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Alice. I enjoyed it.
This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.